page 4 in the white book.
We're lying. That's what they want.
You want to do about that? You want to do that?
Okay.
Good morning. It's good to be here in People's Bible Baptist Church this morning. Get you a songbook and look to page 4 in the white book.
4.
Looks like number 4.
Well, God be the Lord, baby. You go over there.
Oh, hang on. I see. All right, that's is that 447? Trust and obey in the white book. Get you a songbook if you would. 447. I'm going to be your songster this morning. Amen. It is so good to be in the house of the Lord today. Brother David Todd is going to be bringing the message. It's good to have Chris and Stephanie Cade with us this morning. He's a preacher brother and goes all the way back to his father, Ortel, and Joanne, that I've known since I was a little kid. And he used to minister over on WYXC 1270 AM Cartersville for many years. So it's good to have y'all with us this morning. Make yourself at home. 447, trust and obey.
Church times, 10 o'clock is Sunday school, 10 o'clock. Come and enjoy and be with us as we go through God's Word and study what He has us to hear. It's a good time to learn about God's Word. 11 o'clock is our morning worship service. We will not have evening worship service until further notice. This COVID thing, I hope we get it under control one of these days. days where we can start gathering again on Sunday evening. On Monday night, we have our prayer time, 7 o'clock, whatever you're doing.
Amen.
Take time to corporately pray for our church, for our needs, and just take time to pray. Now, one of the things, and I thank Cheryl, on Wednesday night, well, let me go ahead and say it. On Wednesday night, we have Bible study in the fellowship hall, or Daryl has on, is it on Facebook, on Wednesday night. So if you can, come join us in the fellowship hall. We have a good time studying God's Word, and it's a time where if there's questions in your mind as we go through God's Word, we speak up and we talk about it. And we just invite all to come with us. Now, going back to our Monday night prayer. On Wednesday night, we have made a list that we go through every Wednesday night of prayer needs. And on this list is prayer for those that are lost. We pray for our widows and our widowers, and we pray for our cancer patients.
Amen.
And Cheryl mentioned to me last week, why didn't we have that list up here where everybody could get a copy of it? It's here. It's available. It's on the front table here. For those out there in that other world out away from us that has joined in, if you want a copy, because we pray for these by name, God says be specific who you're talking about. And for those out there, if you want a copy of this, call me, and I will mail it to you. No problem. The more that we pray for these, the more that God hears, and He knows that we're sincere about it. So, please make yourself available. If you haven't got a copy and you want one, it's here. Come take one. And Monday night, we can pray anytime as far as that's concerned. But specifically at 7 o'clock on Monday night, we do our corporate prayer for our needs here. As far as birthdays, a belated happy birthday to Graham Faircloth. On January 17th, we want to wish him a happy birthday if they're tuned in. There are no anniversaries, and we don't have anyone here that we have to remember in memory at this particular time. We want to lift up again our prayers for LaVon Underwood, with the passing of John. It's a very tough time for her and her family. Lift them up. They had the funeral service for John Friday morning early. And so keep her in your prayers. Lift her up. She needs our support. And I thank all of you that have done just that. We're going to miss John a lot, but he's in the presence of God. I can just about imagine John right now, when we start with our Sunday school and this kind of thing, he probably said, man, I don't know if that's exactly right. John would do that. We thank God that he's in the presence of Jesus today, along with a lot of our other church members. So keep LaVon in our prayers, if you will, please. And are there any other announcements that we need to make?
Bobby Grimes Memorial Service next Saturday.
Yes, Bobby Grimes will have a service for Bobby at Owens Funeral Home Saturday at 2 o'clock. So if you can, and please, we want to lift up Melinda too.
Yes.
And her family, that they are going through a loss as well. It's just a purple meat. And so please remember those two families in particular. Thank you, Darrell.
Lottie Moon.
Say?
Lottie Moon.
Lottie Moon, yeah, donations for Lottie Moon. There's envelopes out in the vestibule out here. We're doing that until next Sunday, okay? Will be the end of that. So if you want to make a donation to Lottie Moon, please do so. And just drop it in the offering plate. I should want to come forward.
Thanks for the call.
We just thank you for this day, Lord. We just lift up all these requests that we've sent out today, Lord. Lord, just bless each and every one that's here and those that couldn't be here, Lord. Bless our visitors that's with us today. We just thank you for them, Lord. Lord, just go with us through this service and stay. Brother Davis, he brings the message that we need to hear, Lord. Lord, just bless this offering that build our kingdom, for it's in Jesus' almighty name. Amen.
Amen. Get your white book, look at page 206. Blessed be the name. One of the men there that when we was talking at Georgia National Cemetery, They're so afraid they don't even show up to do their service. That's pretty sad, as the times we're in today, that that kind of fear. But we don't have to be afraid. We trust the Lord in all things. And so I was sad to hear that. And so you pray about that, knowing that there's a lot of services that don't even have a pastor. And sometimes the funeral home, good thing they have a minister, they just step in and do what needs to be done. So thank you, good Lord, for all of those that are in those capacities. We just lift them up and we give them flowers and well. Amen. 533, he lived. Let's sing this morning. He deserves every bit of it.
Turn with me, if you will, to Romans,
chapter 13. And we're going to stand and read the first seven verses of chapter 13. It says, let every soul be subject unto the higher powers. For there is no power but of God. The powers that be are ordained of God. Whosoever therefore resisteth the power resisteth the ordinance of God. And they that resist shall receive to themselves damnation. The rulers are not a terror to good works, but to the evil. Wilt thou then be afraid of power? Do that which is good, and thou shalt have praise of the saint. For he is the minister of God to thee for good. But if thou do that which is evil, be afraid. For he beareth not the sword in vain. For he is the minister of God, a revenger to execute wrath upon him that doeth evil. Wherefore you must needs be subject, not only for wrath, but also for conscience' sake. For this cause pay ye tribute also, for they are God's ministers, attending continually upon this very thing. Render therefore to all their dues, tribute to whom tribute is due, custom to whom custom, fear to whom fear, honor to whom honor. Yes. Brother Darrell, would you lead us in prayer, please?
Heavenly Father, Lord, we ask you, Lord, to take the man of God as you hide him behind the cross, Lord, giving the words that we need to hear, Father. Lord, let him be that man of God in this hour, Lord, that'll speak plainly the truth of the word of the anointing of God that we need to apply to our lives this morning as we apply our lives to the truth of the word and listen for our part of the message, God. Lord, just give him words, Father. Lord, give him the message of plainly for us to understand and for those that are listening, Lord, as I say many times, I say Facebook, Lord, but I mean People's Valley, because they're our church that's listening to us through the means of technology. And so, Father, I ask you this morning, Lord, that you just use him in a mighty way, Father. Let the power of God work. And, Lord, if there is something that needs to be changed in all of our lives, let the convicting power of the Holy Spirit convict each and every one of us. Point us in the right direction, Lord. May we make the steps toward you closer. And, Lord, may we be more obedient to being the word of God that is preached this morning, that as we heed it, that we apply it to our lives. Give us a greater desire to listen as we're here this morning, Father. Let our minds not wander on the things later and after a while, but right here, right now, may we pay close attention to the man of God that is preaching, that we take it in, Father, and apply it to us. That, Lord, that as we continue on in these days and times that we're in today, that, Lord, that you'll use us with this message to deliver freshly what is needed, Lord, in the message to be understood in these times that we're in now. Father, thank you for this wonderful church and for the anointing that is going forth in it every day as, Lord, as you bless us and bless this man of God as he stands before us on holy ground. In Jesus Christ we pray. Amen.
Amen.
Now, in times past, as we've read throughout our, especially in the Old Testament, the children of Israel would be kind of in the land, and they would start taking on the customs of that land. Start doing as the people around them were doing. And not what God wanted them to do. This message today is a warning to all Christians.
Amen.
not to be that way. And as I was...
Excuse me.
Thinking about this message this week, I kept saying, this is one of those Brother Darrell's who say, God, you sure you want me to tell them that? You sure you want me to talk about that? Don't you have something else that's more uplifting or more, you know, yeah, great. No, he said, this is a warning. And as we go along, you'll see what that warning is of God. Because it says here in those first verses, let every soul be subject. Now understand that in the first verse here where it says higher, that means government. And the powers are authority. Everywhere in this verse where he uses power or powers, that's the authority or the authorities. Okay? But we need to understand that to start with. And that's whether it's federal, state, local, and businesses.
Mm-hmm.
Personal. See, we seem to forget that the person who, people who run this church, we're not a government, but we set aside rules to be followed.
Yeah.
People who have businesses, whenever they tell you, you can't come in their store wearing a tank top and flip flops, they have the authority to do so. See, God doesn't stop here just with the government. And in those first verses right there, everyone is subject to the governing authorities as they are ordained by God. Can you think about that? And in this time, in our country, and all around the world, and other countries as well, we think about, well, that ain't a Christian man up there leading our country, or that ain't a Christian woman over here representing us. But look back into history. In the history of in the Old Testament, the Jews weren't always led by the Jews. They were in captivity to the Egyptians. They were under the Philistines. They were subject to other people,
yeah,
at times in their country, in their history. And we are the same. It says right there plainly that these men and women who were sent to govern over us are ordained by God.
Amen.
Good or bad, whether we like it or not. We may not like this person. We may not agree with their ways, but God has made a way for them to be there. And let me tell you something. The God that I serve, an almighty God, if he didn't want them there, they wouldn't be there.
That's true.
I guarantee you that. We're just look at what it says right there. The powers or the authorities that be are ordained by God. They didn't get there by chance. God let them be there. And in that second verse, it says, those who resist the authority resist the ordinance of God. And what does it say right there? It says, whosoever therefore resisteth the authorities, resisteth the ordinance of God, and they that resist shall receive to themselves damnation. Mm-hmm. Or in other words, they will be judged.
Yes.
That doesn't mean that whenever it says damnation, it doesn't mean that God's going to send you straight to hell. Okay? It means you're going to be judged by God. Not by me. So in other words, he's telling us here, if we resist the ones that he put in authority over us, if we resist them and refuse to do as they have been ordained to lead us to do, that we're resisting God, whether you like them or not. And I'm sure that some of you who are probably older than me have been through many, many administrations in our country, many, many governors in our state in the past that you didn't like. There's always that one time you got somebody here, yes, we got a good godly man up there, the next time, well, that man ain't no godly man. Or that woman ain't no godly woman. Ain't even close. It doesn't matter. God ordained them to put them there.
Yes.
Do you understand that?
Yes.
And see, he made a way for them to be the governing authority. And he's telling us here plain in these first two verses, be obedient to them.
Yeah.
Whether you like it or not. That's hard to do, ain't it? Yeah. It's hard to do. It's hard to be obedient to someone who's like, well, that's not a godly person, but God put them there. Whether you like it or not. So, looking right along that in verses 3 through 5, that these tell us the purpose of government is to uphold good and punish evil. Right and wrong are determined by the state. By the governors. The Christian citizen is to respect and obey the government so long as the government does not demand we violate God's word. You understand that? As long as it doesn't violate God's word, we are to respect and obey it. Political leaders hold office as God's appointed servants. Political leaders are to uphold the good. It says that in these three verses here, 3 through 5. I'm reading my notes on it, translating it to you so that you can understand it better. Because Paul's writings are always for everyone to understand.
Absolutely.
Paul was a very highly educated man, and that education shows us sometimes it's kind of like reading what a lawyer writes in a contract. So you want to put that in plain English so we can understand it? It is important for Christians to be active in government to ensure the government's values are consistent with God's word. This might be a fairly short message. But so far we've got that the powers, the government that is putting authority over us, and like I said, this is the federal, state, local. And he also gives power to people with their personal businesses and properties to make rules for that. And we are to obey that as well. You understand? It doesn't stop with the government. If you go into a business, it means you abide by their rules as well. And in that sixth verse, 6 and 7 tells us to pay those their dues, whether it be taxes, customs, respect, or honor. In verses 6 and 7. To give to those, you know, we may not like who the governor of the state is, but we still have to show them respect and honor as due to them. We may not like the mayor of our city, or the sheriff, or the police chief, or whatever elected official there is, but remember, God put them there. He doesn't just work at the federal level, he works at the local level. He works at the state level.
Yes.
And those people who have had businesses, let me tell you something. There are people who tell you, I'm a self-made millionaire. Wrong. You've got it because God let you have it. You've got it because God put you there. And if God put them there, if God let them be successful to provide jobs for me and you, then guess what? God's ordained them,
yes,
to make the rules of that country. Because if they ever go against God, If their rules ever go against God, believe me, God can bring them down.
Amen.
He can take the richest man in the world and in a day and a night make him penniless, homeless, and broke. You don't think God can't do that? He sure can. He made the world in 7 days. He can make you a billionaire in a day, and he can make you broke in a day.
Yes, he can.
Anybody. So God has given them the ability to be there, and he's given them the ability to make rules. Now, you probably wonder, where does all this go? I'm going to show you. We're not through yet. See, over in Romans 14, just one chapter over, verses 19 through 21. Let us therefore follow after the things which make for peace, and things wherewith one may edify or build up another. For me, destroy not the work of God, all things indeed are pure. But it is evil for that man who eateth with offense. It is good neither to eat flesh, nor to drink wine, nor anything. You get that? Anything. Whereby thy brother stumbleth, or is offended, or is made weak. Now, this basically says, do not do anything, even though it's legal, to offend someone else or cause them to stumble. Well, what do you mean by causing them to stumble? When you offend someone, if you have someone here who is dead set against eating meat, and you say, well, I don't care, I'm going to sit right down in front of them and eat my steak. I don't care if they like it or not. And they find it offensive. And you do it to offend them, guess what? You just sin against God. Because the word right here says, don't do it to offense. And most people most of the people in here are decent people. If you know that someone is diabetic and we're having a dinner out in the fellowship hall and you know that they want that piece of cake, you're not going to go grab a piece of cake and sit down in front of them and eat them while you can't eat them. I sure can. Because you don't want them to stumble. You don't want them to fall off of. You don't want them to tempt them to have that piece of cake or that ice cream or that cookie or that pie or that peach cobbler or whatever, or Susie's banana pudding. Because you don't want them to stumble and fall. You see, whenever he says here, anything that we do, okay, well, what does that have to do with God's law? What does eating and drinking have to do with God's laws? Well, we have in our church the powers who run the church, the authorities that God has given in our deacons. And whenever we do communion, what if Brother Darrell says, well, you know what? I don't think drinking wine is bad, and I don't care who likes it. We're going to start serving wine for communion, and I don't care. If you don't like it, don't participate. If you don't like it, you can leave. What is he doing, if he were the pastor doing that, and we start serving wine, and someone back here in the back says, I just don't believe that wine is a Christian thing to do, and we're not supposed to be drinking wine. He's offending that person, right? Do you see where that goes? And whenever we do something to offend someone else, and just because we have the right to do something doesn't mean we have to. Now, think about what's going on in our society today. I know someone who has a permit to carry a gun. Open carry permit. That's fine. About a year ago, walked into a well-known grocery store. I'm trying not to mention any names. And was carrying their firearm. Well, the manager asked them to take the firearm back to their vehicle or leave. But instead of doing so, stood up and said, "I have a right to do it. It's my constitutional right to do it," and stood there and argued with the manager till the manager finally had to call the sheriff to remove them. Just because we have the right to do it by the federal government doesn't mean we have the right to do it at this person's business. Because they have the authority over that business to do what they seem right.
That's right.
I see it all the time. Stop at a truck stop, big sign on your door says face coverings required. You know what percentage of the people in there who just don't care about that are? They walk right in. "Well, sir, you can't come in here without a face covering. I'll do whatever I want to." Do you see what's going on? It's disobedience to the people who God put in charge. I wear mine. My mask every time I go around with other people. My little grandson does and doesn't have a problem with it. We went out to eat last night. His mom and daddy, they wore one. Were there people in there not wearing them? Yeah, the manager was running around without one. With the door, a sign on the door that says, "Mask required." You see, that's just an example of what's going on there. I see it every day. People driving down the road, playing with their phones. That is stuck up here. And the funny thing is that some of them are doing exactly the speed limit, but they're holding the phone. "Well, I ain't speeding." Well, guess what? This is not legal either. You see, it comes down to this, and people will go in the shopping center to go in there to make a delivery, and there's cars parked all along the fire lane where it says no parking. They don't care. People just don't care. They park wherever they want to. "Well, this is a handicapped parking spot." I don't care. "There's five more. I'm going to park in this one." "Are you handicapped?" "No. I'm going to park in the middle of the driveway." "Well, why don't you just park in the parking space and walk?" "I don't want to." People driving down the road. Now, I'm using driving as an example. Most everybody in here knows I drive a truck for a living. There's one thing that we all have in common, except for one in here. Because he's not old enough to drive yet. Is everybody in here drives? So you see this going on, and you see people pulling up to a traffic light here, and there's a big sign up there, here a sign up there, and a sign up there that says no turn on red. Well, guess what they do? Turn on red. I've even been sitting at one, because there's one that I have to take all the time going home. Sitting there, and somebody start blowing behind me. "Well, don't you see the five signs that say no turn on red?" They'll be back there blowing home. So what is it about it that's supposed to be a warning to us? Is we see other people doing it, and then we start just going, "Well, nobody ever stops for that stop sign." Well, it doesn't matter. It's there. What did it say back in those first verses? It said you will be judged for it, for not being obedient to the laws that the governing authorities that God ordained and put over us because we don't abide by it. He really won't be judged by God. Okay, the world out there, they don't care. They don't care because they really obviously don't even believe in God. Or they don't believe in God. But you see, in Exodus chapters 21 through 17, God gave us His Ten Commandments.
That's right, yeah.
The first four, of course, were how we think about God and how we treat God. The last six were how we treat others. But you know what? Those were His laws to live by, His rules to live by. But can anybody, I think we've got two preachers in here, a couple of deacons, two or three deacons. Can anybody tell me where in God's Word where He says, well, you pick and choose which ones you want to obey? Can you? Mm-hmm. I believe He does say in there that whosoever breaks the least of these laws is guilty of the whole.
That's right.
What? God doesn't give us a choice, the right or the choice to choose which laws we want to listen to and which ones we don't? Nope. Did anywhere in what I just read you in Romans, does God say, well, okay, you know that, I won't commit adultery, but you know that telling a bearing false witness to your neighbor or telling a lie? Yeah, that's not a big deal. I just tell them a little lie. Or that whole coveting thing, well, it's not like I'm doing anything wrong just because I want something what Brother Darrell has. That's no big deal. I haven't done anything wrong to him. I haven't taken it from him. Because coveting is just a desire to have what he has. So I just don't have to listen to that one. Nowhere in God's Word does He say you don't. Right? He does not give us permission. He gives us Ten Commandments, and nowhere does God give us permission to pick and choose which ones we want to obey or which ones we don't. Too many people today seem to want to decide which rules or laws they want to obey. And which ones they don't. Okay, I'm going to obey the speed limit. I'm going to hold the thunder right here. I'm going to text while I'm driving. Now I'm going to do just the speed limit, no more. I'm going to be out in the left-hand lane, even though the law says I'm supposed to be in the right-hand lane. We don't get to pick and choose which laws we obey and which laws we disobey. And as we look around, we see so much of that. And Brother Darrell, if we say in this church, we do not want open carry, we do not want you to carry a pistol in here, and he just says, well, I don't care, I'm going to carry mine up here and stand up here and preach with my 9mm hooked to my side. God gave the leaders of this church the authority. Can anybody tell me where in God's Word where He says, well, you pick and choose which ones you want to obey? Can you? I believe He does say in there that whosoever breaks the least of these laws is guilty of the whole.
That's right.
What? God doesn't give us a choice, the right or the choice to choose which laws we want to listen to and which ones we don't? Nope. Did anywhere in what I just read you in Romans, does God say, well, okay, you know that, I won't commit adultery, but you know that telling a bearing false witness to your neighbor or telling a lie, that's not a deity if I just tell the Lord why. Or that whole coveting thing, well, it's not like I'm doing anything wrong just because I want something what Brother Darrell has. That's no big deal. I haven't done anything wrong to him. I haven't taken it from him. Because coveting is just a desire to have what he has. So I just don't have to listen to that one. Nowhere in God's Word does he say you don't. Right? He does not give us permission. He gives us 10 commandments, and nowhere does God give us permission to pick and choose which ones we want to obey or which ones we don't. Too many people today seem to want to decide which rules or laws they want to obey and which ones they don't. Okay, I'm going to obey the speed limit. I'm going to hold the thunder right here. I'm going to text while I'm driving. Now, I'm going to do just the speed limit, no more. I'm going to be out in the left-hand lane, even though the law says I'm supposed to be in the right-hand lane. We don't get to pick and choose which laws we obey and which laws we disobey. And as we look around, we see so much of that. And Brother Darrell, if we say in this church, we do not want open carry, we do not want you to carry a pistol in here, and he just says, well, I don't care. I'm going to carry mine up here and stand up here and preach with my 9mm hooked to my side. God gave us, gave the leaders of this church the authority to make those rules. And what would you think if our own pastor disobeyed it? Because he chose, well, that's a rule I don't want to listen to. You think it's strange? You think it's funny? But you look around today and people pick and choose what they want to obey and what they don't want to obey. And the problem with that is we saw it during the peaceful marches and the protests this past summer here in our home state. People are watching. People are waiting. Yeah. The protest is more as nice and calm and peaceful. And then somebody decides they don't want peaceful. They want to turn it into a riot. You know what happens? People start following. In our state last year, because of the pandemic, traffic was down by 30% or more for the whole year. Traffic accidents were down by something like 12%, but traffic deaths were up by 15%. Why? Well, we got police departments who are having trouble, that they don't have enough people out there, less traffic on the road. So we're just going to throw all the laws out the book and drive how we want to and kill somebody. Can you imagine that? With less traffic, we had more deaths. With less accidents, we had more deaths. As Sister Cheryl was reading us some statistics out of the Sunday school this morning, 63% of our country, 63% believe divorce is okay. They believe that adultery is okay. Premarital sex is okay. Well, God's Word doesn't say that. It says in the Ten Commandments, thou shalt not commit adultery.
Amen.
Now, I had someone ask me one time, says, well, if this person ain't married, if this man ain't married, and this woman ain't married, it's okay for them to have sex. I'm like, where do you get that from? Well, you can only commit adultery if you're married. I'm like, no, you can't. The only time you can't commit adultery is when you're married to the person that you're with.
That's
That's right.
Oh, well, no, yeah, see, God doesn't make any exceptions. They think that premarital sex is okay. They think that divorce is okay. It's never been okay with God.
Amen.
We can't pick and choose which laws we want to abide by. And believe me, how many times do you think, Brother Darrell, somebody has done something and somebody else has done something, like maybe the glass fell out of the vending machine, somebody's going over and picking out something here, and so they're picking out something there. Well, we're going to see what Brother Darrell's going to do. Is he going to get that free candy bar out of there? Is he going to actually put money into it right? You see, they're watching. It doesn't matter what those other 10 people did. It's what you do.
Yeah.
The warning for us today is this. Christians should obey the rules all the time, no matter what others are doing.
Amen.
We should be the example on how to live right by God's word. We should not fall into the temptation to do what we want, regardless of what others do.
Amen.
We don't follow the laws, and if we don't follow the laws, and others don't follow the laws, then we have lawlessness, which leads to chaos. And we become a lawless people, disobedient to God's word. Don't follow the laws of others, but the word of God.
Amen.
And as I just read to you, the word of God says, no matter what it is, if you're going into somebody's place of business, or whether it has to do with dealing with the government, those who have the authority, if they say you can't come in here without a shirt on, you put a shirt on. Don't argue with them. Don't fuss with them. Don't say it's my constitutional right given to me by the federal government. Well, the federal government gave that business the authority. See how that goes? The federal government, the state government, local government, for that business, that authority trickles down. And it all started from one place. God.
Amen.
No matter what we do, the warning is this. As Christians, and I'm talking strictly to the Christians, we are to follow the rules. Others are watching, but most importantly, God is watching.
Amen.
If you go back to what it said, we will face a judgment. Not that great white throne judgment where we get to heaven, we will be judged for it here. I'm going to shut up there and turn it over to Brother Darrell. But like I said, it's just a simple warning. Look around you. Look around you every day. People are choosing which laws and which rules they want to adhere to. Which ones they do.
Yeah.
But God never gave us that permission.
Amen. That's right.
And if it didn't come from God, we better listen to it.
Amen.